and minimize. You need to, I mean, it's like minimum. That's what it is. It's like trying to get, you know, home, you know, to work.
Well,
it's a hassle.
I assume you do go into your home to take stock of it and maybe start to clean things up. But what are some of the odd things that you find when you're in there?
Creatures that creep in, like
creatures?
Frogs. Like frogs. Like the other day I went into a closet and there was a frog inside the closet.
No kidding.
And I didn't touch it, but I'm sure it was still warm.
So it was alive.
Yes.
So you have frogs in your living room in your home. That's
and my living room in the closets. Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, because you know, like it's totally uninhabitable. I don't have ceilings. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And now, were you surprised, living where you live, that that Wilma did this? I mean, people weren't thinking about Wilma doing this to the east side.
They were not. I mean, they just did not think that Wilma was going to hit.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's what it is.
Floridians are definitely storm savvy, but one thing we learned this year that, boy, everybody does. Mickey Marsh up there in New Orleans are rebuilding. Ray Murphy in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, also rebuilding. And Sinceri Becerra in Weston, Florida, trying to get her home back in order. Our hearts go out to you, and hold strong. Hang tough there and get your lives back in order. It's good. Thank you very much for joining us, all of you.
Thank you. Good day.
Well, you've heard from the people. You've heard from insurance people. You've heard from analysts about whether or not to rebuild New Orleans. Well, it's been a good show. I hope you've enjoyed it. And as someone who covers the storms at CNN, I think I speak for all of us here. We hope this season is an uneventful hurricane season. Be safe. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Rob Marciano, and this is the CNN Radio Network.
...2006 is the year of The Quake. Broadcasting in HD Digital, this is KQKE. Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose. 960, The Quake.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. On this Memorial Day, President Bush prepares to take part in a ceremony this morning at Arlington National Cemetery. Our Dick Iuliano joins us live now from the National Veterans Memorial with more. Dick, good morning.
Bill, good morning from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, where tourists and other people have turned out here at the Black Granite Wall to pay their respects to those killed in the Vietnam War. 58,000 Americans killed in that conflict, and the war in Iraq seems to hang over this area today. Talking to the veterans who have come here to pay their respects, they talk about those who are serving today and what they're going through. Reporting live, Dick Iuliano, CNN Radio at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, Washington.
Joint Chiefs Chairman General Peter Pace is urging patience in the investigation of U.S. Marines accused of killing as many as two dozen Iraqi civilians.
We should not prejudge the outcome.
CNN's Jamie McIntyre at the Pentagon reports the evidence is stacking up against the Marines in this investigation.
Pentagon officials are bracing for the worst as sources here at the Pentagon tell CNN that the investigation into the allegation that U.S. Marines killed as many as 24 civilians in Iraq last November is wrapping up and that the evidence so far is, quote, very incriminating.
Nearly 50 are dead in the latest violence across Iraq. More than 70 others are hurt. More than 5,000 deaths are now reported following Saturday's earthquake in Indonesia. Barry Kane with the UN World Food Program says survivors are camping on the sites of what used to be their homes.
They're salvaging what they can from the rubble and living under plastic. And it's raining right here at the moment. And it rains almost every night. So shelter's a big problem.
Indonesia's president says there's a lack of coordination in aid distribution. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS. Leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking. And committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Rioters take to the streets of Afghanistan's capital after an accident involving a U.S. military vehicle. CNN's Barbara Starr reports from Kabul.
A U.S. military convoy was headed through Kabul when it was involved in a car accident. Apparently, one of the large military trucks experienced some kind of brake failure. Then it hit as many as 12 civilian vehicles. The initial reports were that one civilian at least was killed and six were injured.
At least eight are dead in the riot. Barry Bonds now has his sights set on Hank Aaron after hitting home run number 715 Sunday in San Francisco, moving him ahead of Babe Ruth.
I have a lot of respect for Babe Ruth, and I have a lot of respect for what he's done for the game of baseball. But I have to give the head up to Hank Aaron because he is the home run king.
Bonds is now alone in second place on the all-time home run list. He still trails Aaron by 40. This is CNN Radio.
Togo's new sensational salads. Try the new Santa Fe chicken salad. Roasted chicken, black bean and corn salsa, diced avocado, shredded cheddar cheese, all topped with chili lime tortilla strips. Or the new Mediterranean tuna salad. Albacore tuna tossed with roasted red pepper and black olive salsa on a bed of romaine and spring mix. Or even the new Cobb salad. Unique flavors and the freshest ingredients. Try a new Togo sensational salad today.
Let's eat light today. I wish there was a place to get a sensational salad.
Oh, hey, I know. Togo's has some great salads. You know, my friend Steve said he got the best salad he has ever eaten at Togo's.
Togo's is now serving our new sensational salads. Try our new Cobb salad, Mediterranean tuna, or my favorite, the Santa Fe chicken. Roasted chicken, black bean and corn salsa, diced avocado, and cheddar cheese, all topped with chili lime tortilla strips. Try one today.
Well, what are we waiting for? I want a Togo's sensational salad.
Togo's it is.
You're listening to News Fair and Balanced.
Fair and balanced, huh? We don't think so. 960 The Quake gives you the opportunity this Memorial Day weekend to be a great American and turn off the right-wing lie machine. You'll win TV Be Gone, the universal remote that turns off any TV in any public place, anytime. Call in and win all this weekend. Find out when to win on the contest page of QuakeRadio.com.
This is the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on 960 The Quake.
We have in this segment, Will Durst, an interview.
Well, what happened was Jeff Ross came by. He was premiering his film. It was way over in the Presidio, and I went to the screening. It's a lot of fun. What happened is Jeff Ross is a comedian from New York, and he decided to go on a little tour of Iraq and take some other comics with them, and they taped the tour, and this is the interview I did.
The
with
movie's
them.
Called Patriot Act, and it'll be on Showtime on Sunday night.
Right.
Okay, and here it is on 960 The Quake.
Director Jeff Ross.
Well, we're here in this Presidio Film Center. It's the San Francisco Film Center. It's after a screening of Jeff Ross's new documentary about going to Iraq called...
Patriot Act.
And why isn't it called Road to Tikrits? I mean, you do the whole thing with the Bob Hope and you...
I'm already afraid he's going to sue me.
Because you're right. He does own most of
it. I'm No Hope.
Yeah.
And nephew No Hope. You know, he got a better title, Will. I'm down with it.
But the logo is gorgeous.
Thank you very
and
much.
And how many cities have you gone to so far?
It showed at the New York Comedy Festival, the HBO Comedy Festival in Vegas. It won the Montreal Comedy Festival, Best Feature. Beat the Aristocrats, which I'm also in.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. That's when I knew that maybe people will respond to it. You know, I'm very proud of the fact that I made an award-winning movie about comedians. Because as a comedian, you know how this is. You know, it's like we're on the low rung of the showbiz totem pole. So to travel around with a movie about comics is very gratifying.
Well, also, you honored the comics. I mean, you didn't make them look like fools or cretinous or toads or, you didn't mock them for their what they knew on stage or what they didn't know on stage or you didn't mock us for all the tricks that you know that we do, you know, to suck it up, learning the local references, changing, you know, hack jokes into local. You didn't expose any of that, so you
made
us look
good. Sounds like a magic special behind.
Yeah. Okay, you're not Penn Jillette, you know. Sure. So where else? What is the future for this? This is a totally independent feature that you explain to my little crowd here. What exactly that you did? You went to Iraq on a USO tour.
You know, I was just hanging out at a comedy club, and you know how it is. Somebody mentions a gig to you, and you run around your head, and you go, "I've never done that." Wasn't thinking much about the war. Certainly wasn't thinking about it in terms of, you know, on an emotional level. It was like something you read about in the paper. I was sort of aloof and half-assed about the whole thing, and it sounded like an interesting gig, to be honest with you. It wasn't about anything about helping people. I was going sort of for strange reasons and started shooting. I bought a camera, a video, a little mini DV Sony camera the night before I left, like a tourist. I'm shooting whatever looks cool, talking to the comedians, just kind of, you know, bull crapping my way through the whole thing. And about a day into the trip, I realized I'm seeing things I'm never going to be able to explain to my friends back home. So I, on our last layover, I bought more tapes in Kuwait. Uh-huh. I realized that the cogs and the soldiers were starting to open up to me. You know, they were. I'm not a reporter.
You're a smart comic,
and that gets you access, just like in real life.
They think that we're real guys for some reason,
and they started talking to me like a real guy. And the soldiers, I realized, well, they just want to tell their story. You know, they want a witness. They want someone to see what they live. And I was that guy. Right before they caught Saddam, I went in. I was there for 4.5 days. And it was very revealing. I have footage that, even though I'm a comedian, I have footage that a journalist can't get. I could fly up in the air. I could hold the camera out the window. We could fly during the day, which is all things you can't do now in Iraq.
I'll tell you, the piece of footage that really got me was when you were explaining you're flying over the river, and I don't know which river it is, but it's right where Tikrit is. And, you know, that it's one of these farmhouses that Saddam was hiding in. As you were shooting, you know, these farms along the river, and they still hadn't found them after you left. I mean, they found them right after you got back to America.
Yeah. You know, all these amazing sights and sounds. I mean, Saddam, we didn't know if he was alive or dead. He's like this ubiquitous bad guy through my whole film, because they don't know, you know, everyone's looking for him. They're looking for the weapons. You know, morale was kind of, you know, mixed because there wasn't much discovered, you know, and I guess I went there at a ripe time for comedy. You know, the soldiers, they were all the first ones in, and we were the first entertainers to go in.
No, you were.
Comedians, yeah. Apparently some rock stars were in, and apparently, well, right as we were there, Bruce Willis was another part of the country, and I was thinking, boy, that must be depressing. Bruce Willis's band, you know, I figured if the terrorists...
That's your taste of America.
If terrorists are going to kill somebody, they'll probably go for Bruce Willis's band before they come after the comics.
Kerry and Kerry Kinney, and then the rest of them, It was amazing, that one little girl that you got at night, who just looked at you and said, you know, I want to thank you. You don't understand. You know, we're out here and you brought a taste of America. She looked so smart. She didn't look like your typical... She just looked like you get a transplanted or in any...
That was another thing, Will. Like, you see these Marines in movies and on the news or gung-ho, you know, even in Fahrenheit. Remember, it's like the music they play. Burn, motherfucker, burn. You know, like they're all hyped up. And the Army is not like that. Everybody who was in my screening tonight, you could put uniforms on those people, and they would look like the people in the film. And that's what I couldn't believe, you know? This schmuck you got holding a microphone right here. You can put a helmet on him. You can put a helmet on him and a vest, and this guy would be a guy in my film. You know, the Army is just regular people. Sometimes, you know, they sign up for a discount on a college education, and they wind up in Iraq. And I was amazed by it, you know?
Now, you've never been a political comic.
No.
And suddenly you make a war film, not an anti-war film, not a pro-war film, an interim war film is what it is. I mean, it's just the war is still going on. So have you started paying more attention to the news? Are you trying to figure out stuff that's going on and how you feel?
I try to keep a frame of reference that it's not about politics. The stuff that interests me is the people. I always read the news accounts about the people. whether that's the funerals back home in America, whether that's, you know, Iraqi kids getting blown up on their way to school, or, you know, I'm constantly Googling the names of the people in my movie to see if they're the ones, you know, they've gone back for second and third tours now, some of these soldiers, and, you know, every time I read about an Iraqi translator dying, I wonder if it's the guy in my movie, you know, I don't think about it in political terms. I don't think about it even as a war. I think about it as these people I met, these people I looked in their eyes, you know, when you worry about them. And when it comes to cheering people up, these are the people that need it the most. This is the best audience. And selfishly, as a comic, that's what I look for. You know, you look for the best crowds. You know how it is. You look for the best crowds.
I just want to say that an incredible eye for detail. I'm not a pro-war guy. And I love the line, you know, I'm pro-war but anti-troops. You know,
I love that line.
I say in the movie, I say, I've sort of mixed feelings about the war. I support the war, but I'm against the troops. You know, the ultimate joke that's the one joke I could say back home, but I wouldn't dare say to the people over there, you know.
Well, I thought,
is it wrong to have mixed feelings, you know?
Not at all. And I think because America's so polarized right now that everybody thinks that they have to be one side or the other. And what you show is that, yeah, these are great people. You know, I'm not big on, you know, killing Iraqis, you know, because I don't understand, but these, it's about the people, and I think that you demonstrated the disconnect between...
You don't have to love the quarterback to root for the team. Well, when I was a kid, grew up in Jersey, New York. I hated George Steinbrenner. I love the Yankees. It's not hard to understand. This is the soldiers. They don't want to be there either.
No, and they're good people. Hell, they laughed at your jokes. That's what makes them good people.
If Hitler laughed at my jokes, I'd give him up.
We're comics, for Christ's sake.
You're hearing the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie.
Segments from previous shows you might have missed.
Catch Will and Willie live every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. On the air at 960 a.m.
And online at quakeradio.com.
960, The Quake.
Working Assets Wireless is the only wireless company supporting the ACLU's lawsuit against illegal wiretapping. You there, at the keyboard, this is Will.
And I'm Willie, asking you, does your wireless carrier donate 1% of your bill to progressive causes? They support progressive causes like the ACLU, the Sierra Club, and Planned Parenthood.
Go to workingassets.com/quake. Sign up today. Working Assets Wireless. Change the world on the go.
Hello?
Honey, it's Roger.
Are you okay?
No, I'm stuck in a meeting. And Stevens Creek GMC is having a huge sale on 06 Yukon Denalis. $11,000 off retail, and we get $100 in gas for taking a test drive.
Oh, finally! The whole family in one car. You, me, Jimmy, Timmy, Sammy, Cindy, and Roger Jr.
And room for one more. It fits eight.
Not a chance, honey.
Yukon Denali XLs. On sale now at Stevens Creek GMC. On the web at trucksonthecreek.com.
Oakland Vote reminds you that your vote is your voice. Speak up on Election Day, Tuesday, June 6th. The last day to register to vote in this election is Monday, May 22nd. So make sure you send in those cards. Register to vote now by texting Oakland Vote to 75444. For more information, call Oakland Vote at 510-208-0818 or email info@oaklandvote.org.
Listen up, people. This is the King of Carlins, Mike Frega. If you call 1-800-FRESH-START, you get one thing no one else can give you. That's me, Mike Frega. I don't own a car dealership. I'm not even a general manager. You don't buy cars from owners and general managers. But if you call 1-800-FRESH-START, you get an appointment with me, Mike Frega. I've got hundreds of credit unions and the nation's most aggressive lenders. And by the way, I'm still looking for somebody with 8 auto repossessions. Call 1-800-FRESH-START, and I'll give you that fresh start you've been looking for. That's 1-800-FRESH-START. And don't forget my competition. That's 1-800-NOT-SO-FRESH-START. Approval of credit, subject to prior sale, whatever.
Oakland Vote reminds you that your vote is your voice. Speak up on Election Day, Tuesday, June 6th. Register to vote now by texting Oakland Vote to 75444. For more information, call Oakland Vote at 510-208-0818 or email info@oaklandvote.org.
Mmm, the smell of garlic and the sound. Listen to that garlic sizzling in the wok. Oh, nice. I can almost taste it. I love my job. I'm a chef at Panda Express. And I just can't get enough of all the smells, sounds, and sights of our Chinese kitchen. Right now, we're featuring our exciting garlic creations. Get into a Panda Express and experience them for yourself.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language, with no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills? You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, over 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. This amazing demo includes 28 languages. Learn a language better than you thought possible and faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-337-1442 and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills. Call for your free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. The number is 1-800-337-1442. That's 1-800-337-1442.
2006.
Keeping It Real with Will and Willie continues.
Online at quakeradio.com.
And on the air on 960, The Quake.
Now State Senator Jack Espier, who received a glowing endorsement from a newspaper that I love to rag on, The Chronicle, a few days ago. You seem to be running the table, as they say. You got The Chronicle? Who else did you get?
The Sacramento Bee, the Fresno Bee, the Riverside Press Enterprise, the Bakersfield Californian.
You want to explain
the
that
The Guardian.
Back up for a second.
The Pacific Sun.
Back up for a second. You
I
want to explain the Bakersfield newspaper?
Yeah. I'm delighted. It's been... The editorial sweep has been wonderful.
Well, The Chronicle, of course, has been incredibly contributive to your efforts to address the issue of privacy. All of a sudden, on the national stage, the issue of privacy surfaced last week when the USA Today reported that several of the wireless companies and the telephone companies and the communication system companies had been cooperating with the government by supplying information. Would your measure have done anything to create a problem for the companies to be able to do that?
Unfortunately not, because my legislation that became law here in California only applies to financial institutions and the sharing of financial
information.
What does
it say exactly?
It basically provides that no financial institution can sell, share, lease your financial information that they have on record with another financial institution or a non-financial institution without your consent.
And that legislation was passed?
That was passed after a four-year battle.
And superseded by a federal law?
No, actually, the federal law only dealt with the affiliate sharing. So we had constraints on affiliate sharing among financial institutions. The federal case was preempted us as it relates to the financial sharing
so
of
just affiliates.
So they can continue to share with affiliates. They cannot share with other financial institutions without getting your consent.
And so, as you said, your law would not have had any effect on what the telecommunication companies have been doing with reference to the federal government. Have you followed that? And if so, share with us your take on it.
Well, you know, whether it's the wireless companies, the telephone companies, or the internet companies, all of them have been in a position recently where they've been asked by the government to share information, and for the most part, all of them have done it, with the exception of what?
Quest.
Quest, was that it? So it's a real...
And without notifying their clients, notifying those of us who pay their bills.
But a bunch of them last week, near the end of the week, issued this weird press release with the language really parsed, and
AT&T, Bell South, and Verizon all issued these statements.
Yeah, saying that we haven't done anything illegal, but they didn't say if they had given the names or anything.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a company that conceals their transactions and activities from the public would violate a securities law. But on May 5th, the president issued a memorandum allowing the director of national intelligence, John Negroponte, to authorize companies to conceal activities related to national security.
You know, what's outrageous about all of this is that the government is... in the business of ostensibly of making everything public, and yet they go around and are doing things that are making everything private. It's like I have a bill on the governor's desk right now that would require that when there's tainted meat or poultry in the marketplace, that the Department of Health Services is going to have to inform the public. But they had signed a memorandum of understanding with the U.S. Department of Agriculture 3 years ago, basically saying, give us the information and we promise that we will not tell the public.
Who did?
The U.S.
The U.S. government?
The Department of Health Services made a memorandum of understanding with the U.S. Department of Agriculture because they wanted to get access to the information about meat recalls. But they only were able to get that
if they promise not to tell the public
exactly.
about it.
The voice you hear, is that of Senator Jackie Speier, who is a candidate for lieutenant governor of the state of California, right here on 960 The Quake. And it's not our first visit. It's actually a third or fourth visit with us.
You have to start paying me to come in.
Hey, they don't pay us.
Oh, okay, that matters. Yeah, in that case, forget it.
Get in line, Jackie.
Right.
How's the campaign going otherwise?
It's going great. I mean, we're down to like 17 days.
I haven't seen you on television.
Well,
you on TV?
You're going to start seeing me. We start on TV in L.A. today and in the Bay Area on Wednesday.
I think it's 15 days.
Is it 15?
Yeah, 15 days.
It's very close.
Yeah.
So we have bought the TV, $2.5 million.
Did you get a nice plasma screen?
No.
$2.5 million, you would hope they'd throw one in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. A bonus.
But you're right. So you're
going
to be on TV for the next 2 weeks or so. Huh?
Right.
L.A.? Here?
L.A.?
Valley?
We did a statewide buy,
yeah.
But we've got heavy purchase in L.A.
What are you doing? I don't want you to reveal your strategy, but are you doing the news?
Am I doing the news?
Yeah.
Of course we're doing the news.
Yeah, trying to buy, because those are the concerned voters, right?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that you think.
You actually buy what's available, Will, at this stage
of the game.
I know,
but don't you target it? Don't you try
to
find it?
Yeah, you try to, but it's not there always for sale. Because of the huge volume of people all trying to get into the same market, your buyer has to really be clever and try to get here and there. You know, you've got Wesley and Angelitas buying everything. You've got Prop 82 buying everything that isn't tied down.
They're phony teachers.
Right. With what?
They're phony teachers. Have you seen the No 182 thing?
They're actors.
Yeah, they have actors going out there pretending they're teachers saying, you know, Prop 82 is going to cause a parent tax. You know, they're just making stuff up. And they're pretending that they're teachers. I don't want to waste...
Is that the No 182?
Yeah, No 182. No. It's a very funny ad. Not funny. Funny ha-ha, but, you know, funny woo. Funny woo-woo, not funny ha-ha.
It's just part of the business.
Yeah,
right?
I don't.
I wouldn't criticize other people's ads because they use props. Or they, yeah, you just think about it. Yeah, you got a guy in a uniform. You don't know whether or not he's a cop. Usually, a cop cannot appear in a television ad in uniform. And we have cops and firemen full-time on television, allegedly. And they are usually are not. And only time you get anybody raising any questions about it is when they're not supporting what you're doing. If they're supporting what you're doing, they love it. They absolutely love it. Yeah. And the reason I've been so silent on this issue...
Because you've used them all the time.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I've used them all the time on every side of every issue. So now I'm revealing the secret. Yes, we have.
Use cops and firemen.
No, use people in uniforms.
Oh. But you can't show the actual emblem either. That's another no-no. You've got to somehow obscure the emblem so you don't... It's not a... A legitimate
like the because NFL. The department cannot be in a position where they appear to be endorsing or supporting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very, you know, it's very iffy. And at one time, because of the prohibitions against government employees participating in politics, if you remember, you had that
Hatch Act
at one time. That is correct. You could not, as a public employee, do that.
It's a federal. Wasn't that federal employees?
Federal employees. You couldn't do that. And so all of a sudden, you would not have had real teachers doing ads. You would have had, you know, acting teachers doing ads or substitute teachers doing ads. If you're really smart, you'd let somebody run out there and say, that's not a real teacher. And then God said, oh, yeah, I'm a substitute teacher. I don't work regular, but I'm a substitute teacher, which is not a bad thing. How's the campaign going, Jackie?
So the campaign's going great. I've been all over the state. I was in Chico and Redding and Red Bluff last week.
We'll cool.
Down on the coast this week and into the Inland Empire later this week. So it's going great.
How many events a day do you plan?
Oh, there's 5 or 6 a day.
Yeah. Staggered.
You know what's interesting, though, and you'll get a kick out of this, Willie. People say, oh, running statewide is so difficult. It's really, really hard. It's harder, I think, to run for a local state assembly or Senate seat because you're never done. You work, you know, you're doing events all day long, and then, you know, at 6 o'clock at night, you go
house
out and you
parties.
Walk a precinct.
Yeah.
Well, you can't walk precincts of a statewide race. So if you don't have a fundraiser in the evening, you can't keep making phone calls for money. At least I don't feel comfortable doing that. So, you know, sometimes you actually have the night off.
I've got to tell you, at the local level, it's 18 events a day.
Yeah, it's huge.
18 events a day.
Boom, boom, boom.
When Jackie Spear campaigned.
One every half hour, huh?
Yeah, when Jackie Spear and her colleagues came down here to rescue me from the horror of local voters.
Which one?
What?
Which one?
All of them.
Oh.
The mayor's race. The mayor's
95,
race.
99?
Yeah, the mayor's race, 95, 99. When, and it was, I was doing 18 events a day. 18 appearances. And I would start handing you deals as you got on streetcars, as you got on buses, as you got on metro liners. And then I would move from there to coffee shops in the neighborhoods while you were sitting there drinking your Starbucks. I'd move around. You don't have to do any of that.
Well, it doesn't, you know, when you've got the state as big as this, you can't. I mean, it's just. You
that's why television.
That's why television is so important.
We had your opponent on. We had Garamendi on the other day.
What's his name again? No, don't. You don't have to.
Don't repeat it.
But we had one of your opponents.
Yeah, right.
Is that a better way to say it? And we want to obviously extend the opportunity to you as well. We'll tell you this. We're going to be in Sacramento on.
Jackie Spear.
We're going to. When Sacramento win?
The June 6th, we're there election day, and the
June
following
7th. We're in the Capitol.
Reveal.
We're in the Willie Brown Conference Room.
Oh, good. We won't be there,
assembly.
Of course.
No, but you're on Saturday. On
where
the next
are you having
day.
Your party?
The next day, believe it or not, the next morning, my son is graduating from high school.
On June Jackson 7th? Is graduating from high school.
June 7th?
On June 7th. So uh-huh. I'm going to be a mom on June 7th. I'm not going to be a politician.
That is right. 1988.
All right, we withdraw the invitation, State Senator Jackie Spear.
More of the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie coming up on 960 The Quake, San Francisco's exclusive progressive talk station.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Peter Pace promises answers in an investigation of U.S. Marines accused of killing civilians in Iraq.
One investigation has to do with what happened. The other investigation goes to why didn't we know about it sooner than we knew about it.
Pace says it's too early to judge the outcome, but says appropriate action will be taken. Observances getting underway at Arlington National Cemetery, where President Bush is about to take part in a Memorial Day ceremony. At least 8 deaths are reported from anti-American rioting in Kabul, Afghanistan. It's in response to a U.S. military vehicle crashing into a crowd of pedestrians. Survivors of Saturday's earthquake in Indonesia are in desperate need of supplies.
What we need right now is shelter, medical supplies, and probably getting into a bit of a food crunch right now.
Barry Kame is with the U.N. World Food Program. Over 5,000 deaths are now reported. This is CNN Radio. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist changes his mind and now supports the FBI's search of a congressman's office. CNN's Ed Henry tells us it's a break for the president, but he's not out of rough waters yet.
Congressman James Sensenbrenner is holding a Tuesday hearing entitled Reckless Justice. Did the Saturday night raid of Congress trample the Constitution? Judging by that title, House Republicans are not about to back down. Ed Henry, CNN, the White House.
Some Republicans are concerned an FBI raid on the office of Congressman William Jefferson, who's accused of bribery, abused the separation of powers. 8 defense witnesses take the stand in the trial of Saddam Hussein. Testimony will resume tomorrow. Barry Bonds is now 40 homers shy of tying Hank Aaron's all-time record. He moved alone into second place with a 715th homer Sunday in San Francisco, putting him ahead of Babe Ruth. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
At the 2006 Wente Vineyards Concert Series, it's about more than just the music. Our wines go as well with your favorite artists as they do with a specially prepared menu. And the intimate setting among the hills and vineyards bring you so close to the stage, you can almost touch your favorite stars. Like Blues Traveler, Heart, Chris Isaac, and more. Click on the Wente logo in your online media player right now to order tickets. Or call 925-456-2424. That's 925-456-2424. Tickets also available at all Ticketmaster locations.
Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, where you'll always find quality brands like Sealy Posturepedic, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic Pressure Relieving Swedish Mattresses, and the Sleep Number Bed by Select Comfort at everyday low prices. Plus, on approved credit, you'll get free financing for a year with no down payment, no monthly payments, and no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters. Quality brands, discount prices.
Have a good night's sleep.
Join KKSF this summer at the East Bay Regional Park District's Fresh Tracks Hiking Program. Every third Saturday through September, KKSF and the Park District will host a leisurely hike in an East Bay park, followed up by a Wente Vineyards catered lunch and live KKSF jazz performance. To find out more on this great program, visit ebparks.org.
Comcast is the leader in high-definition television, offering both local and national HD channels not available on satellite. So if you're into movies, sports, or just amazing clarity, then Comcast Digital Cable is the only way to go. And if you don't have time to watch your shows while they're being aired, then record them with Comcast DVR. Pause live TV or watch one show while recording another. For more information on Comcast's great broadband products, including high-speed internet, call 1-800-COMCAST, 1-800-COMCAST, or go to Comcast.net.
Baskin-Robbins. It's choosing time.
Baskin-Robbins' new signature sundaes. With their premium toppings, choosing can be deliciously difficult. So here's a tip.
Skipping rocks helps me think.
Ow! Why'd you chunk that rock at me?
Chunk? Like the chunks of fudge brownie in the chocolate bliss sundae.
You broke my glasses here.
And world-class chocolate with hot fudge and whipped cream.
The new signature sundaes. Baskin-Robbins. Happy choosing. Price and participation may vary.
By Wesley for Governor.
You're listening to News Fair and Balanced.
Fair and balanced, huh? We don't think so. 960 The Quake gives you the opportunity this Memorial Day weekend to be a great American and turn off the right-wing lie machine. You'll win TV Be Gone, the universal remote that turns off any TV in any public place, anytime. Call in and win all this weekend. Find out when to win on the contest page of QuakeRadio.com.
This is the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on 960 The Quake.
Reverend Jackson, how are you?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you today?
You didn't have to get up as early as I had to get up.
Oh, I don't know, because my body clock is on the East Coast time, so I've been up since 4.
Yeah, well, then you should have been right here in the studio on the way to breakfast. You would have enjoyed your breakfast much more. We're glad, though, to have you on for a few minutes.
Well, good to share with you, Will, and I can't help but say to you that as we prepared this meeting with ministers today and our convention next month, there must be a renewed focus on urban policy, urban reinvestment, not just on this issue of tax cuts for the wealthy and more investment in Iraq. We're going to put a sustained national focus on our agenda for 2006 and 2008.
You know that something that obviously embarrasses African Americans today, and that is the incident reported of William Jefferson, the congressman from Louisiana.
Well, so far, that's all that we do know is there's an incident reported. We do not know that he, we do not know the status, the detail. It's interesting to me that some of the Republicans and Democrats protested the way this invasion took place in terms of separation of powers. You know, that's kind of legalese, except there's a lot of protests by congresspeople, Democrat and Republican, about how this raid took place. So it's much too early, I think, to comment on the outcome of it, though, Willie. And there's such a contrast between a guy being charged with laundering money or something, and the institution, the fundraising gimmick led by Tom DeLay, and how that whole pattern of corruption, a lot of folks are already in jail and others are on the way to join them.
Well, it's rather interesting also that with all this information about Mr. Jefferson, there has been no charges against Mr. Jefferson, yet there have been a considerable number of charges against Mr. DeLay and his whole crowd.
Well, condemn without trial and denying due process to a conclusion seems to be a pattern. And well, that is Congressman Jefferson and Barry Bonds, you know, condemn without trial, denial of due process, and when an accusation over and over again becomes a fact. We must resist that because it is, it's fascist. It's not democratic.
You are having breakfast this morning in an area in which there is a high incident of homicides being perpetrated on African-American males.
Well, I submit to you, Willard, that prenatal care, Head Start, education, daycare on the front side, will reduce jail care, crime, and welfare on the back side. You simply have the scorched earth policy toward these areas where people have easy access to guns and drugs and build sub-economies. We must root it out and provide for these cities and their children a kind of hope in the future. So they're planning their futures and not planning their funerals. Well, that is Oakland, it is Chicago, it's New York, and I submit that this, every city I visit, I'm looking at second-class schools and first-class jails, and that cannot be our future.
I love your phrase, first-class school, second-class schools and first-class jails. Let me ask you.
Anybody that hang around Miss Minnie talk that way, you know.
Miss Minnie is my mother. In the interest of full disclosure, Reverend Jackson and I have been friends now for almost 50 years.
Since I was a child and you were my mentor.
Oh, I wouldn't go there.
Reverend Jackson, you talked about the convention. That's the PUSH convention?
June 10th through the 14th. Well, our theme is free but not equal. You know, we're all free today with the public accommodations bill passing and Jim Crow law ending and the right. We are free, but do we have equal access to jobs and health care and capital and industry and technology and education? The answer is no. So while that was a horizontal struggle to move in, we must now fight for equal access. What does it mean when blacks and Latinos virtually have no service station ownership in the country, for example? What does it mean to us when Coke been in business 120 years and has one black franchise in the world, and Pepsi got one because Coke got one? You look at the whole access to capital, industrial growth, it's been a virtual lockout. That's the next phase of our struggle, and to expand our base to inclusion to make America stronger and better. Inclusion always leads to growth. When there's growth, everybody wins. That we kick off that Saturday with lawyers from around the nation on the issue of where are we standing with civil rights and the law. The Voting Rights Act is basically being suspended. The comprehensive immigration reforms are elusive at best. Occupation, safety, and health laws are not being enforced. On that Sunday, the focus will be on mayors and city council. We'll be putting together maybe $100 billion budget on a plan, even to use force of pension funds with some government security to reinvest in America, to make our cities come alive with jobs and education and hope again. What's happening in New Orleans must happen all around the country. Money to rebuild schools and houses and churches and to make cities come alive again. A big session that afternoon on comprehensive immigration reform with Governor Bill Richardson. On that Monday morning at the labor breakfast, Vera Gosa from L.A. is going to speak at it. So it's going to be a week of that kind of activity. We plan to leave there on Thursday with some plan to address reinvest in America and to have a fairer tax system and to end the war in Iraq.
You are listening to Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's appearing on 960 The Quake. He's at a breakfast over in Oakland, California. One final comment before we have to let you go, and we have to go. If you would, give us your perspective on the immigration issue facing this nation, and obviously its focus on Latinos.
Well, it's interesting that we're putting up walls between us and Mexico and open border with Canada. One policy north, one policy south. But all the focus on Mexico, what about when we send for the Cubans and subsidize them and send the Haitians back and lock them up trying to come in from Haiti? It must be a comprehensive immigration reform. And the immigration drive across the borders is really driven by corporations. This is a corporate-driven agenda. Walmart, the largest American employer, has 20 $1 billion worth of product a year from China, $2 a day wages. They're also the largest employer of undocumented workers. This whole issue is employer-driven, and they're behaving government policy. We're exporting jobs. We didn't lose steel workers' jobs to undocumented workers. We didn't lose automotive jobs to undocumented workers. Our policy is to export jobs because globalizing capital without globalizing human rights and workers' rights and children's rights creates a situation. We globalize capital, but not globalize human rights, workers' rights, and human rights, and therefore you have this dynamic of people coming to where the grass is greener.
Hey, Jess, Willie Brown here again.
This is such an exciting meeting here today over here in Oakland with ministers and political officials and organizing the rainbow, both on the San Francisco and the Oakland Berkeley side of the bay, as we put together a sustained movement here. And so it's just been a, so I apologize for the overflow.
You're going to do a second event over the day. You're doing the breakfast this morning at one church, and you're doing, I think, a dinner this evening, are you not?
This afternoon, this evening at 5 o'clock at Allen Temple Church. We are giving 25 youth a $1,000 scholarship. We hope to increase it up to $5,000. At our Rainbow Convention in Chicago in June, on the 15th, we're giving away 50 $5,000 scholarships and 250 $1,000 scholarships. We intend in a very definite way.
$500,000.
Indeed. We've got 50 $5,000 scholarships and 250 $1,000 scholarships. We've been doing this for 3 or 4 years now. We're determined for our youth to choose futures over funerals, and one way to do it is give many of these kids got the best, got good grades with it, good minds. They just don't have any money.
You know, Jesse, I'm not sure you're familiar with the situation here in California, but a few years ago, the state said you must pass an exit exam in order to get a high school diploma in this state after you've done 12 years of schooling here. And it was discovered that a huge percentage of people could not pass that exam. A lawsuit was filed, and the judge in Oakland ruled that that exam could not be used as a means by which to keep people from getting a diploma, a high school graduation certificate, so to speak.
Due to the lack of quality of education available to certain people.
I don't know if you have any views on that, but you went to Southern schools as I did. And mine, your memory, I'm sure, is such that everybody had to pass everything before you were promoted.
Well, it did, but I think the critical issue here is, Brother Willie, is that when Bush comes along and says, leave no child behind, and raises the bar but doesn't even the floor. See, Allen Iverson does not mind at 6'3" or 6'4" competing against Shaq at 7'2" with a 10-foot goal, so long as the goal, as the floor is even. But now if he's in a hole and Shaq's on a pedestal, he can't compete. The emphasis we're putting on the outcome ignores the process where we end up illiterate. We should be fighting to get trade school training in every school and computer training in every school. If we make our kids more functional, then learning would be more acceptable. Our kids can learn, but those who are poorest have the fewest resources, and therefore they have the fewest results on these tests. The kids who are the most able are studying the exam. They study the exam to go to college. They study the entrance exam as a course in their school. When our kids sometimes cannot get enough books.
And therefore it makes them in that hole that you're talking about that Anderson would be in playing against Shaq, who's on a pedestal.
In Chicago this past year, went to Harper High School and they had not had water in the swimming pool in 10 years. Had some books in the library, Russia Today, 1945. 1,400 kids, 145 computers, all but 14 were broken, about to fix them. 30 minutes away at Negro Valley School, needless to say, indoor tracks, Olympic-sized swimming pools, and the whole nine yards, within 30 minutes of each other. No commitment to equal funding and an equal foundation for the children to learn. But now, at the football game, the inner city Morgan Park beat the Big Brother Rice Catholic School for the championship football game. And the basketball game, Simeon won the state championship. Well, why did they win those championships? Because within those instances, the playing field was even. And the rules were public and the goals were clear. That's when you can really determine. If the playing field is even, rules are public, goals clear, we do right well. But the playing field is uneven, and the rules are fuzzy, we don't do well.
How can we make this a national effort?
Well, what we plan to do at our convention next month is to begin to teach ministers and officials how to get ballot initiatives on the state ballots, for we guarantee equal quality education funding in every state. It starts therefore, because I'm convinced you cannot ask either party who trapped these property tax schemes to do that. But most people, I'm convinced, Democrat or Republican, black, white, yellow, or brown, will support equal high quality for all children. That would be break the stalemate between what I call one party and two names, and everybody looking for somebody to blame.
That's Reverend Jesse Jackson here on 960 The Quake for his second appearance on our program this morning. He's calling us from Oakland, California, where he is doing some work with ministers and people of faith in the East Bay on issues of concern to him.
You're hearing the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on 960 The Quake.
Baskin Robbins. It's choosing time.
It's mid-afternoon at the office, and a cappuccino blast would make a mighty good pick-me-up. But how will you decide which new flavor to get? Here's a tip.
Sometimes yelling at people on the street helps you decide.
Hey! Which cappuccino blare should I get?
Shut up, you nut!
See? Nutty s'mores.
The sip-alicious cappuccino blast in three new flavors.
Thanks!
Okey-dokey!
Baskin-Robbins. Happy choosing. Price and participation may vary.
Great television experiences are always ready for you with Comcast. With the convenience of on-demand, crystal-clear high-definition, and all the best movies, sports, and kid shows, it's Comcastic. Call 1-800-COMCAST or go to Comcast.net for more information.
Searching for your dream home? Go to quakeradio.com, keyword real estate, to find some of the Bay Area's top real estate professionals like Century 21, Crystal Estates, Pacific Union, and many, many more. The best way to start your search is with keywords on quakeradio.com.
Are you a victim? If you have credit card debt, are making mortgage payments or car payments, you are a victim. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth System, and I want to send you my free tape so you can see just how easy it is to stop being a victim and start living debt-free.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
You can get out of debt, and with just the money you already make. I did, and so have over a half million others using my proven debt elimination system.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
My system doesn't just consolidate your debt, it eliminates it. It's amazing how simple and easy it really is. Call for your free tape. It's time you got out of debt and started living life on your terms, not theirs. Call 1-800-881-8696. That's 1-800-881-8696. 1-800-881-8696.
Okay, for all you people who wear glasses, open your eyes. Your glasses aren't doing jack to improve your natural eyesight. Not one thing. Oh, don't get me wrong. You may be able to see better when you put them on, but glasses are nothing more than a crutch. A momentary patch job on a problem that may actually be improved by you. And I'm not talking about LASIK or some other surgery with people poking around your eyeballs. No, I'm talking about a simple system from Vision Improvement Technology that you can do on your own that just may strengthen your natural eyesight and help you start seeing more clearly. The award-winning doctors who created it believe it can totally eliminate or reduce your dependence on glasses or contacts once and for all. This is for real. It's a real system created by real doctors. But don't take our word for it. Let us send you a free video to see this program firsthand for yourself. A free video just for calling. Call 1-800-522-6121. That's 1-800-522-6121. 1-800-522-6121.
The best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie continues
online at quakeradio.com
and on the air on 960 The Quake.
Our guest here is running for controller of the state of California, State Senator Joe Dunn. Welcome.
Mr. Senator, it's nice to see you again.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Say hello to you and my friend Will Durst.
Will, great to see you again as well.
Thanks for joining us, State Senator.
No problem. Before you get to the dialogue about what's being put into my tank and at what price, I saw a commercial that you just did where you are taken credit for bringing down Enron. What's that all about? Are we supposed to believe that?
Well, let me explain that one, Mr. Speaker. We investigated Enron for 3 years.
In your capacity as?
Chair of the Investigation Committee into the electricity crisis that John Burton created in early 2001. John came to me and said, Joe, all of the solutions du jour in early 2001 to the electricity crisis simply weren't working. And he said, I need you to do an investigation. And so he gave me that committee, a 9-member committee, and we thought we'd investigate over the course of 6 months. We ended up investigating, Mr. Speaker, over 3 years. We issued hundreds of document subpoenas out of the legislature, hundreds of deposition subpoenas, the first time in U.S. history any state legislature has done that. We found Enron in contempt twice when they were still wearing the white hat of the business community, not the current black hat. We got sued by Enron to stop that investigation, and in fact, many of the documents that now folks are very familiar with, like the infamous Enron Fat Boy Death Star Memorandum, came out as a result of our investigation. And our commercial, which says, the man who cracked Enron, that's not the label we made up for Joe Dunn. That was actually the headline of a press article about that investigation during the height of that investigation back during the electricity crisis. So very proud of our role, actually, in bringing down Enron. But no, I'm not trying to claim full credit for it, but I am proud of the role we had in bringing down Enron.
Can we shake out the wallet of Enron?
Unfortunately, Will, there's not a whole lot since Enron sought protection under the bankruptcy rules. But there is still some dollars available that will come out of both the bankruptcy proceedings and the civil litigation that is still pending out there against Enron and some of the other merchant generators that stole the money from the state of California. Will we get 100 cents on the dollar back? Will, absolutely not, unfortunately. But through the course of the litigation and the regulatory proceedings over the years, we'll get billions of those dollars back. It won't
really?
Be enough, but we'll get billions back.
The state of California is going to get back some money that was stolen from us.
Absolutely correct. In fact, it's already occurred. The Attorney General's office, Bill Lockyer's office, has in fact crafted several settlements with some of the major players. Again, not 100 cents on the dollar, Will, but it has indeed brought back literally billions of dollars thus far, but far more to go.
The voice you're hearing is that of Joe Dunn, state senator from Orange County, here on 960 The Quake, a candidate for the controller's job in the state of California.
You got Disneyland, don't you?
I do indeed. Disneyland's in my backyard, and it shocks a lot of people, Will, when they understand that a Democrat from Orange County, wait a minute, now that's an odd animal, but not only a Democrat, a very progressive Democrat. As Mr. Speaker knows, back in 1998, we ended up knocking off a Republican incumbent who actually was the Senate minority leader at that time, a guy by the name of Rob Hurt, in a race that is considered one of the greatest upsets in California legislative history.
You heard Hurt.
We did indeed, and have secured that seat. We won by 2 points in 1998 and won re-election in 2002 by over a 30-point margin. So progressive Democrats can survive very well if they simply stand tall for what they believe in.
Senator, you have refocused your attention currently on the oil companies and the crisis that drivers are facing in this state. Is it potentially comparable to the Enron situation?
It's almost identical, Mr. Speaker. I'm glad you asked that question in that fashion, because when we started the investigation of the electricity crisis, the first hearing was nothing but a series of economists. And one of those economists uttered a phrase, Mr. Speaker, that we didn't understand at the time, but it turned out to be absolutely our guiding principle. And that sentence was as follows. Senators, you don't have a crisis in electricity in California. You have a crisis in economics. Once you understand that this is all about economics and market behavior and not about electricity, then and only then will you know what the solution is to the electricity crisis. They were absolutely right. What happened in the electricity crisis, which unfortunately has not been resolved yet, had nothing to do with how we crafted deregulation. It had to do with the fact that six companies cornered the market, stopped competing with each other, and were able to charge any price to Californians that they desired until the whole system collapsed. I tell you that story because that's exactly what we have going on in the gasoline situation today. This is not about a shortage of gasoline, not at all. This is about a handful of companies that have cornered the market in California that now have the ability to charge any price they can get away with only one barrier stopping them, and that's the public's willingness to go to their elected officials and demand a response by the government to this behavior. We all believe in the free market, but the fact of the matter is, in gasoline in California, we do not have a functioning competitive market. We have what economists call an oligopoly, several companies instead of just one under a monopoly that control this market. There's only two responses that we can do to break up that oligopoly and return competition to the gasoline market and thus lower prices for the consumers. And that is we either improve our antitrust laws in the state of California. California. I have no faith that the federal folks are going to do any antitrust prosecution here. Or two, we give the PUC regulatory oversight over the market behavior of the gasoline companies. I'm not suggesting they set prices, not at all. In fact, the bill that Paul referred to bars the PUC from setting gasoline prices. What we want the PUC to do is to look in and control the market behavior of the gasoline companies in California and ensure that they are competing with each other and not acting in complement to each other. And one last sentence, Mr. Speaker, if I can, and the way we drive this home is I ask the listeners to think back. When was the last time they saw a commercial for gasoline at the local gasoline station that says, come to our station, we charge the lowest price? We haven't seen competition in price for gasoline in almost 15 years.
But the Federal Trade Commission just came out with a report that said there is no oil, there's no price gouging. That's a
isolated incident.
I can't be happier that you asked that question, Will, because this is what I've been screaming about for the last 3 years. Because we started to look seriously at the gasoline industry, not just this year, not last year, but 3 years ago when we were going from a dollar something to $2 a gallon, and everybody was shocked. And of course now we're knocking on $4 a gallon. And the gasoline industry likes to say, there's been many investigations, and we've never been found to have engaged in illegal behavior. I'm not here to say whether they've engaged in illegal behavior or not. What I'm saying is that's the wrong question. The issue isn't whether they engage in illegal behavior. The issue is whether they engage in dysfunctional market behavior that may very well be legal. So when the FTC came out yesterday and said we didn't find any illegal manipulation of the market, that's an irrelevant point. And stop looking for illegal behavior. We've got to get real about an industry that have now figured out potentially a legal way to manipulate a market so that they can derive massive profits in a dysfunctional market and that the consumers are the ones who suffer. That's the question we have to examine.
You're hearing the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie. Segments from previous shows you might have missed. Catch Will and Willie live every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. on the air at 960 a.m. and online at quakeradio.com. 960, The Quake.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Dolph DeRoos. I bought my first property at 17 without a penny to my name, and since then have made millions in real estate. I have engineered a proven system to real estate buying that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. Let me show you how you can get started right now. With my techniques, you can learn the secrets for spotting deals that come along on average once a week and pick up plenty of homes that generate lots of cash and become rich, very rich. Call 1-800-991-7748 anytime, 24 hours a day, and I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is. Instead of just making a living, let me show you how to make real money. Call 1-800-991-7748 and get your life back. Again, that's 1-800-991-7748.
Police Committee 2006.
You're hearing the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on San Francisco's exclusive progressive talk station, KQKE, Oakland, San Francisco, 960.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. President Bush and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld among those attending Memorial Day observances at Arlington National Cemetery at this hour. And our Dick Giuliano is at the Vietnam War Memorial on the National Mall.
Jim, Vietnam veterans here are paying their respects and also honoring the troops that are fighting today. Linwood Pierce of Vineland, New Jersey, did two tours of duty in Vietnam. He says today's troops are doing a wonderful job, but Pierce worries about Iraq.
I'll put it to you this way. It's the only way I can put it is we were invited into South Vietnam to help those people. Iraq, we went in on our own.
Memorial Day also here includes a huge parade on Constitution Avenue. Reporting live, Dick Giuliano, CNN at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, Washington.
Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says there will be a thorough investigation of reports that U.S. Marines massacred some Iraqi civilians in Haditha last November, but General Peter Pace says there will not be a rush to judgment. The Senate Armed Services Committee also plans an investigation. Correspondent Jamie McIntyre reports from the Pentagon.
It appears that the initial statements given by the Marines at the time were not accurate about what happened, and there's two investigations. One's going to look at who knew that those statements were incorrect, and the other one looks at exactly what happened when these Marines allegedly went on a rampage and killed as many as 24 civilians.
At least 46 people died in bombings and ambushes today in Iraq. As many as 74 others were wounded. The death toll from the weekend earthquake in Indonesia is over 5,000, more than 8,500 injured, perhaps 200,000 homeless. Presidential spokesman Andi Malarangeng says there's a national mobilization to help the survivors.
We are mobilizing all the resources we have at the local level, at the national level. The first 2 days, we are fully prioritizing the evacuation, search and rescue, and hospitalization, bringing people from the location of disaster to the hospitals.
The quake measured 6.3. This is CNN Radio.
Against unbelievable odds, he inspired his men to victory.
I swear the bullets refused to touch him.
From defeat, he forged a new identity as a man with nerves of steel.
They must be looking for a fight, though Washington is more than happy to give it to.
Washington, the Warrior. Tonight at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. Before he was America's first president, he was America's first action hero.
I'd like a real estate website where I can look at all the listings, not just those of a single company.
I'll know the right house when I see it, but it's frustrating having to go from website to website. I'm wearing out my mouse.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. REMAX listings and our competitors' listings, too. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
U.S. military headquarters in Kabul, Afghanistan was locked down while hundreds of Afghans rioted in the streets today. They were protesting an incident in which a U.S. military truck crashed into a crowd of pedestrians. The truck apparently lost its brakes. At least one person in the crowd was killed in the crash, and at least eight people reported killed in the subsequent rioting. Afghan officials are calling it the worst rioting since the fall of the Taliban. A prominent investment house is warning of even higher oil and gas prices if another bad hurricane season knocks out any more U.S. refining capacity. Our Greg Black reports.
$100 a barrel. That's investment bank Goldman Sachs' new projection for oil prices if we have another major disruption. And other experts say even that could be a conservative figure. Part of the reason could be because of China's growing demand for oil, up more than 10% in April over the same month last year. That is the sharpest increase in 2 years. Greg Black, CNN.
This is CNN Radio.
If you're into eBay or just want to make an unbelievable amount of money selling stuff on the internet, then grab a pen to write down a number that could change your life forever.
So far I've done 100,000 in gross sales.
Everything you need to get started making money on the internet, including the internet's largest marketplace, eBay, is in a free software package from Internet Speedway. Generate massive cash selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. You may never have to work in an office again. Instead, you can put up your feet while your computer becomes a money-making machine.
I was able to quit my 9-to-5 with the money I make now.
Now I have my own successful online business. It's already brought in over $175,000 for me.
The Internet Speedway system could change your life forever. For your free software showing you how to make money on the Internet, including sites like eBay, call 1-800-446-1642. But when this offer's gone, it's gone. 1-800-446-1642. 1-800-446-1642.
Togo's new sensational salads. Try the new Santa Fe chicken salad. Roasted chicken, black bean and corn salsa, diced avocado, shredded cheddar cheese, all topped with chili lime tortilla strips. Or the new Mediterranean tuna salad, albacore tuna tossed with roasted red pepper and black olive salsa on a bed of romaine and spring mix. Or even the new Cobb salad, unique flavors and the freshest ingredients. Try a new Togo sensational salad today.
started sending me emails, and I'd never gotten an email from Oprah before. when you see her name and pop up in your email screen, it was like 1 a.m., I was just about to go to bed. I could not sleep the entire night because I was so excited because she was so nice about what she was reading, and it was great. The show was amazing yesterday, and she freaked me out a little bit because she said she was going to make it part of her book club, and then she decided not to because she worried that people would say, since I do work for her, that you know, she was...
Nepotism.
But, you know, when she says that she's almost going to make it part of your book club, you kind of, like, your heart skips a beat.
Because my compatriot, Mr. Willie Brown here, former mayor of San Francisco, is writing a book. It's probably going to come out in the fall, and I imagine he could use that connection.
Hey, there you go. Excellent. Well, I look forward to reading that, too.
Well,
process writing a book. I mean, as you know, Willie, it's not an easy thing.
It's hard work, and I got to tell you something. If I don't make Oprah's list, I hope she'd at least give me a Plymouth. Is that what she gave away?
Pontiac G6.
All right. She gave away all those cars.
Do you see the mood of the country kind of switching sides, perhaps, moving from far right to Christian right to maybe people are upset about the culture corrupt? Maybe it's just everything. Maybe it's, you know, the tipping point has been reached.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. I mean, I think things go in waves, and obviously the pendulum swings back and forth. It certainly seems, if you believe these polls, and there's been so many of them now, you kind of have to believe them. People are clearly upset, and I don't know if it's one particular issue. I don't know if it's, as you said, the tipping point, just sort of an amalgamation of issues that have sort of just finally pushed things to people. But the thing that most interests me in these polls is the lack of people just don't believe this president is honest, for this president that it must be particularly galling, because no matter what poll showed in the past, honesty was something he always, you know, people kind of believed he was a decent guy and was someone they would want to, you know, hang out and have a beer with, and it's just interesting. I'm not saying whether it's true, you know, I don't have an opinion whether he is or not, but I mean the fact that so many people now seem to doubt him in that. In fact, one recent poll showed people said that Bill Clinton was more honest than President Bush.
Wow.
Which is pretty...
Wow.
It all depends what your definition of is.
You might say that's a dress of another color.
That's Anderson dress, Cooper. Red dress.
Yeah. That's Anderson Cooper from CNN right here on 960 The Quake with us. Anderson, you are about to move over to 60 Minutes. When and how will that occur?
Well, I'm just doing part-time stuff for 60 Minutes. I'll still be on CNN every night, and I'll just basically be working, you know, I guess weekends, and probably take some vacation days to shoot some stories for 60 Minutes. And I'm not sure what the first one's going to be. We're talking about some ideas now. There are a bunch of stories I'm really interested in doing.
That's a heavy schedule, man.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty intense, but I really love what I do. So I'd much rather take a vacation, a week off for vacation, and go and shoot a story than I would go to, you know, sit on some beach somewhere. I'm not, you know, I'm like the palest guy in America, and like the idea of sitting on a beach in the sun just doesn't really do it for me. So I get bored pretty easily.
Well, I'm not the palest guy in America, but I don't take vacations either, Anderson.
I think it has a lot to do. I think, you know, when you have a certain drive or a certain imbalance, I don't know what it is, frankly, but I love work, and clearly you do too.
Now, part of this book is also consumed with what you did in New Orleans when you were down there, what you saw, what you experienced.
Yeah, a lot of it, I mean, is sort of behind-the-scenes stuff that we weren't able to get on television, and, you know, hanging out in the bars with police officers and rescue workers. And
what bar was open?
There was actually just one bar that opened up.
Which one?
After the storm, a daiquiri bar. And then a stripper joint actually opened up about 3 weeks after.
Both on Bourbon Street?
Yeah, right on Bourbon Street. And it was mostly, you know, it was all police and first responders who were there. And it was a little bit like the bar in Star Wars, you know, because just sort of the assortment of, you know, I mean, it really felt like we were at the edge of the world. And that's sort of why I ended up calling the book Dispatches from the Edge, because, I mean, it really had that feeling of just being in this other place. And where sort of none of the rules applied, and you know, we all felt, I think, this great bond of being there, and I wanted to honor that and honor the heroism and the, you know, the compassion that I saw from these first responders and from all the people who were down there trying to do something. As we know, there were a lot of people, you know, who let the place down.
Now, this book is autobiographical in nature, and it involves all of your reportage. Does it start when you started? Is it chronological? Yeah. So it starts with Channel One.
It's actually a very non-linear story. It's really about loss and about survival and losses that I experienced as a kid. My father died when I was about 10, and my brother committed suicide right before I started my last year of college. And so it's really about sort of figuring out, dealing with that loss, and also what I've learned from other people around the world in wars and disasters who you know, have gone through tragedies. And I mean, loss, I think, is a bond that we all share, and it's something that people rarely talk about, and I kind of wanted to, you know, in some way start a conversation about it.
There was something,
yeah, I got into the business in a very strange way. I tried to get an entry-level job at ABC News after college, like, you know, at gopher work, basically, and I couldn't get the job. So I came up with this plan, which was I decided I should go to some place where there weren't many Americans because I figured there wouldn't be much competition. So I made a fake press pass, and I borrowed a camera, and I started going to wars.
Jesus.
And that's how I became a reporter.
And that's Anderson Cooper from CNN, who is out and will be out shortly, moving around America to have you share Dispatches from the Edge, a book that he's done that covers in part his time at Katrina, probably gives us the perspective of an active participant in the most early responders to the process involving Katrina. Well worth reading.
That was one of the most amazing things of your covering, that we hadn't seen. There was so much that's been censored from Iraq that we haven't seen from Iraq. And here was something. Here was the death and destruction in front of us, and it was right on our doorstep. It wasn't on our doorstep. It was in our living room. And that, I think that it really affected Americans.
And the veneer of reporters just being talking heads seemed to be dropped, and I thought, Anderson Cooper, that you were very, very responsible in the way that we got the human side of the story, and we actually started to ask questions, where is our government? What is going on here? Why aren't these people being taken?
You might have single-handedly rescued the reputation of all reporters all over America for a while.
Well, that's kind. You know, I mean, I was just doing my job, and I felt privileged and honored to be there, to be able to stand with the people who were struggling and, frankly, still are struggling.
Still are.
The country's moved on, but I got to tell you, the winds of Katrina are still being felt down in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast of Mississippi every day.
Were you surprised with the reelection of the mayor, Ray Nagin?
You know, yes and no, and I don't want to sound like I'm dodging the question, but it's you know, I know New Orleans pretty well, and I love the city, and I love the place, and I think people decided they'd go with the guy they knew as opposed to the guy they didn't know. And, you know, I think the people who voted for Nagin felt he'd been tested, and he would do better the next time, and, you know, why change course with the hurricane season bearing down? So in that way, I guess, I wasn't surprised. I mean, Nagin is he's a charming guy when you talk to him, and he... you know, one-on-one, and I mean, he's got a charisma about him that maybe doesn't come across on television as much, but in person, it certainly does.
Have you been back?
Oh, I go back all the time. I mean, to me, it's...
Did you go back for Jazz Fest?
I made a promise in those terrible days after Katrina not to move on from the story, and I think I've been able to fulfill that. I mean, I'm going back again next week. I think I've gone back probably more than anyone, and I will continue to. It is a national tragedy what has gone on there and what continues to go on there, and you can walk in the lower Ninth Ward today and find people's photo albums and their possessions still laying in the street, and their bodies. You know, there are bodies who are, there are people still out there who haven't been brought home to their loved ones, and that's, for me, haunting and something I can't get over.
You're hearing the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie. Segments from previous shows you might have missed. Catch Will and Willie live every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. on the air at 960 a.m. and online at quakeradio.com. 960, The Quake.
Let's eat light today. wish there was a place to get a sensational salad.
Oh, hey, I know. Togo's has some great salads. You know, my friend Steve said he got the best salad he has ever eaten at Togo's.
Togo's is now serving our new sensational salads. Try our new Cobb salad, Mediterranean tuna, or my favorite, the Santa Fe chicken. Roasted chicken, black bean and corn salsa, diced avocado, and cheddar cheese, all topped with chili lime tortilla strips. Try one today.
Well, what are we waiting for? I want a Togo's sensational salad.
Togo's it is.
Comcast Digital Cable has hundreds of channels of the most requested programming with about 30 local channels and includes on-demand with thousands of shows and movies to watch whenever you want. Comcast is the leader in high-definition television offering both local and national HD channels not available on satellite. So if you're into sports, movies, or just amazing clarity, then Comcast Digital Cable is the only way to go. And if you don't have time to watch your shows while they're being aired, then record them with Comcast DVR. Pause live TV, watch one show while recording another. The DVR is inside the cable box, so no extra equipment is necessary. With Comcast high-speed internet, you'll get blazing fast connections and 100% pure broadband features such as click-and-play videos and web-based email. They've recently upgraded the upstream and downstream speeds for all of their customers at no extra cost. Now you can enjoy even quicker uploads and downloads of photo, video, and music files. Call 1-800-COMCAST, 1-800-COMCAST, or go to Comcast.net. Cable and internet, Comcast.net.
Working Assets Wireless is the only wireless company supporting the ACLU's lawsuit against illegal wiretapping. You there, at the keyboard, this is Will.
And I'm Willie, asking you, does your wireless carrier donate 1% of your bill to progressive causes? They support progressive causes like the ACLU, the Sierra Club, and Planned Parenthood.
Go to workingassets.com/quake. Sign up today. Working Assets Wireless. Change the world on the go.
Hello?
Honey, it's Roger.
Are you okay?
No, I'm stuck in a meeting. And Stevens Creek GMC is having a huge sale on 06 Yukon Denalis. $11,000 off retail, and we get $100 in gas for taking a test drive.
Oh, finally, the whole family in one car. You, me, Jimmy, Timmy, Sammy, Cindy, and Roger Jr.
And room for one more. It fits eight.
Not a chance, honey.
Yukon Denali XLs. On sale now at Stevens Creek GMC. On the web at trucksonthecreek.com.
2006.
Oakland Vote reminds you that your vote is your voice. Speak up on Election Day, Tuesday, June 6th. The last day to register to vote in this election is Monday, May 22nd. So make sure you send in those cards. Register to vote now by texting Oakland Vote to 75444. For more information, call Oakland Vote at 510-208-0818 or email info@oaklandvote.org.
0427.
The best of keeping it real with Will and Willie continues.
Online at quakeradio.com
and on the air on 960 The Quake.
Mr. Angelides, you're running for governor.
Yes, I am.
Are you going to win?
Well, that's the plan. That's the fervent hope.
Bill, you were in the New York Times yesterday, I believe, with a story, you and a photograph.
With a martini glass in front of me.
Had you in a bar and had Mr. Westland in a church, how did your staff allow that?
Well, Willie, we wanted
to... I mean, what are you...
He's going for that segment of bar flies.
I'm going for the bar, though. Every inch of the way, Willie.
Hey, bar flies vote, too.
And Phil, but on a serious note, I see where today you're... I suppose one of your base supporters pushing the budget of the governor, which deals with the issue of money, full funding for education, and the speculation is that that may pull the plug for the candidates who are campaigning on the basis of a failure for him to fully fund education. How do you respond to that?
All right. Well, you know, look, here's where we are, and Willie, you know this, and you know we've slid a long way from when you were Speaker of the Assembly, where this state was back in the 60s and 70s. We're 43rd out of 50 states in what we spend to educate each child in a very competitive global economy. We're 40th out of 50 states in the number of young people who go directly from high school to college. We're 48th out of 50 states in educational achievement. Now, apparently, the governor's going to run on the basis that things are okie-dokie. And, you know, Will, next year we face a $4 billion deficit. We still have $20 billion in deficit borrowing owed, and I'm not satisfied. I think we can do better. We ought to pay back the money that the governor took from kids faster than he's paying it back. He's essentially telling a kindergartner when he made the promise that the kid will get the money back in ninth grade, and we can do better. And so as governor, I'm going to fight hard for more funding, lower tuition and fees, and I'm going to try to roll back some of the enormous tax breaks that have been given to corporations and multimillionaires, $17 billion a year in California, so we can have the best schools, more kids going to college. You know, he hasn't, quote-unquote, fully funded schools in a way that moves California forward.
You're going to be labeled as a guy who is trying to raise people's taxes, or at least that's what one of your opponents is attempting to do. And
Willie. I mean, Steve Wesley's just given me a little spring training for what Schwarzenegger is going to say about me.
That's what I was about to say. How are you going to address the business that you are trying to tax people, period?
Well, here's the fact. I mean, you know, ever since the right's been on a tear, Bush is president, middle-class families are struggling harder. Tuition and fees, which you held down as speaker for many years, which are a tax on middle-class family, tuition fees at community colleges, state colleges, and universities are going up. Health care is going up for middle-class people. Middle-class people, working people, are having it stuck to them. Meanwhile, people who make more than $500,000 a year, people like Steve Wesley, Philly Angelitis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, perhaps even Willie and Will. We've been getting...
No, wait a minute. You're going a little bit too far.
No.
Did I? Good.
Let me think. No.
People making $500,000 a year, big corporations have been getting the biggest tax breaks in history. $17 billion a year in California alone. At the time, our schools are underfunded. Tuition fees are going up. Working families are getting hurt. It ain't right. And it's got to stop.
And that's Phil Angelides.
Willie, if the Democrats and Will can't stand up to this, then what good are we?
That's Phil Angelides. He's a candidate for governor on the Democratic side of the aisle. 13 days in the primary. He's appearing on this radio by telephone, 960 The Quake. Phil, you should know that we will be in Sacramento on election night, and we'll be there the day after the primary.
The day of reckoning.
Now, is that because you're picking me as the winner, or you'd rather be in Sacramento than Palo Alto?
We'd like to see you there, though. We're going to be actually in the Willie Brown.
No. We're picking you as the winner, obviously. That's why we're going to Sacramento.
You're speaking for the Commonwealth Club?
You know, my briefing told me to remind everyone of that. I'm speaking today at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. I am speaking there at noon today.
I spoke there last week. And Will Durst will be speaking there next week.
So it's a very exclusive club.
Very exclusive.
Mr. Angelides, we all know that immigration in California has impacted the economy incredibly. And we know that the federal government is responsible for the borders. There's not much we can do. What can a governor do about the immigration problem here in California?
Well, first, what a governor should not do is go on to right-wing talk radio versus a good talk radio show like this. Should not go on right-wing talk radio and praise the Minutemen. A governor ought to be pushing the federal government to live up to its responsibilities. Look, Pete Wilson and I didn't agree on much in life, but, you know, he was very dogged about pushing the Clinton administration to provide funding to reimburse California for the costs we incur. A governor should also, it seems to me, work with our congressional delegation. I'll work with Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, my campaign co-chairs, and to try to fashion the most sensible, compassionate immigration bill, one that doesn't penalize families and kids, one that provides a path to citizenship for all those people who are working hard, holding jobs, obeying the rules. That'd be the best for California. But as you know, Willie knows, and as you know, Will, we're paying a lot of costs right now that the federal government should be picking up. $750 million to incarcerate undocumented felons. We shouldn't have to bear that cost. That's a federal cost. And also, we shouldn't be sending our National Guard to the border, let alone we shouldn't send them to the border. That's something Bush ought to take care of. He promised 2,000 new border guards after 9/11. He's delivered 200. And I'll just tell you something. I want our National Guard home from that war in Iraq that's wounding our conscience and wounding our people, let alone put them on the border.
And that's the voice of Phil Angelides, the Democratic candidate for governor.
A mellifluous voice.
A sign of the Greek community and the current lieutenant governor.
No, he's the treasurer of the
treasurer,
state of California.
Treasurer.
Yes. Been the treasurer for 2 years.
Do you know well that there, as George Bush would say, there is no French word for entrepreneur?
Stop. You're using my own material against me.
It's one of my favorite lines of Will Durst. I can't believe he said it. I can't believe he's president.
Well, that was the famous Saturday Night Live skit when they had Al Gore running against, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Phil, there's a real concern here in San Francisco, was during the time that I served as mayor, still is under Mayor Newsom, and that is the absence of complete health care coverage for everybody here.
Yeah, I think there's a three-step process here, Willie, that I'd like to undertake. The first is I would sign Wilma Chan's bill to extend health care to all kids in this state. And again, unlike Steve Wesley or Arnold Schwarzenegger, who just mouthed the promises on education and other subjects, I proposed a way to pay for it, which is to roll back these massive tax breaks for the wealthiest multimillionaires and corporations. Step two is I would actually be a governor who made sure the Department of Managed Care cracked down on HMOs. Over the last 2 years, I opposed two of the big mergers that the governor approved. There was a merger between Anthem WellPoint and United Care, Pacific Care, where in those two mergers alone, the CEOs paid themselves $1 billion, way too much money of our health care dollars going to CEO compensation, overhead profit at the HMOs, and not enough to patient dollars, and I'll change that. And finally, I've committed to work with Sheila Kuehl to try to put together a package of universal care, basic package, for all Californians. The best way to do this is to elect a Democratic president in 2008, but I want to see California set a model, and I want to recruit a lot of the business leaders in this state to join me in this, because I believe for all those businesses who are covering their workers, that to make California more competitive, to be fair to the businesses who are covering their workers, we need a universal system of care in California, basic package, at some point decoupled from employment. It'll be better for our economy, better for the good businesses, better for the health of our state.
More of the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie coming up on 960 The Quake, San Francisco's exclusive progressive talk station.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Two crew members of a CBS News team were killed today by a roadside bomb in Iraq. Our correspondent Ryan Chilcote reports a CBS on-camera correspondent was seriously wounded.
The cameraman Paul Douglas and sound man James Brolin. The CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier was also injured in that attack.
The military says the news crew was in a U.S. military convoy in Baghdad at the time. At least 46 people have been killed in bombings and ambushes in Iraq today. The traditional laying of the wreath today at the Tomb of the Unknowns, President Bush participated in the annual Memorial Day observances. Violence in Kabul, Afghanistan. Crowds rioted after a U.S. military truck lost control and killed at least one pedestrian. At least 8 people were killed in the ensuing violence. Some 75 prisoners at the Guantanamo detention camp have launched a hunger strike. The military says the detainees in the past have gone back to eating after getting some media attention. This is CNN Radio. Carnival Cruise Line says a passenger apparently jumped overboard. The Carnival Legend docked in New York last evening after a 12-hour delay while the ship searched for the person. Passengers reported seeing a man jump after arguing with his wife. An AP Ipsos poll shows Americans hate waiting at the supermarket checkout counter more than anything. They also get aggravated waiting at the motor vehicles department. The survey finds Americans are willing to wait no more than about 5 minutes on hold on the phone and no more than 15 minutes standing in line. Actors Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt have a new daughter. Galina Espinoza of People magazine says all is well.
Brad was at Angelina's side during the delivery, and all reports are that Angelina and the baby are doing fantastic.
A couple of sports notes. Sam Hornish Jr. won the Indianapolis 500, and Barry Bonds hit his 715th career home run to move past Babe Ruth's record. Now he's aiming at Hank Aaron's all-time record of 755. This is CNN Radio.
Listen up, people. This is the King of Car Loans, Mike Frega. If you call 1-800-FRESH-START, you get one thing no one else can give you. That's me, Mike Frega. I don't own a car dealership. I'm not even a general manager. You don't buy cars from owners and general managers. But if you call 1-800-FRESH-START, you get an appointment with me, Mike Frega. I've got hundreds of credit unions and the nation's most aggressive lenders. And by the way, I'm still looking for somebody with 8 auto repossessions. Call 1-800-FRESH-START, and I'll give you that fresh start you've been looking for. That's 1-800-FRESH-START. And don't forget my competition. That's 1-800-NOT-SO-FRESH-START. Approval of credit, subject to prior sale, whatever.
Oakland Vote reminds you that your vote is your voice. Speak up on Election Day, Tuesday, June 6th. Register to vote now by texting Oakland Vote to 75444. For more information, call Oakland Vote at 510-208-0818 or email info@oaklandvote.org.
You're listening to News Fair and Balanced.
Fair and balanced, huh? We don't think so. 960 The Quake gives you the opportunity this Memorial Day weekend to be a great American and turn off the right-wing lie machine. You'll win TV Be Gone, the universal remote that turns off any TV in any public place, anytime. Call in and win all this weekend. Find out when to win on the contest page of QuakeRadio.com.
Joining us from Washington, D.C., she writes, Heard on the Hill for Roll Call, Marianne Akers. Good morning.
What's the news in D.C.? What's happening there?
Big news on the William Jefferson raid, the raid on Congressman Jefferson's office. And oddly enough, now you've got Republican leaders demanding the return of all the documents seized from this Democratic lawmaker's office. So it's pretty wild. And very rare when you have Speaker Hastert teaming up with Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi to demand much of anything, much less the return of documents from a Democratic lawmaker's office.
And what is it that I just saw a note a minute ago that Nancy Pelosi has asked Mr. Jefferson to resign from the Ways and Means Committee?
That's right. She did ask him to step down from the Ways and Means Committee. Really, secretly, Democratic leaders would like him to resign from Congress altogether. So by asking him to step down from his very powerful position on a very powerful committee, it's sort of basically asking him to please step outside.
Resign from Congress altogether? No, they want him to disappear. They want him to vanish in a puff of smoke and not leave anything left behind, including a trail or any residue of the $90,000 in cold, hard cash, with the emphasis on the cold that was found
right
in his freezer.
And you know, it was funny because when the details came out from the Justice Department, the FBI raid, we found out that money was in his Capitol Hill refrigerator, not down in Louisiana. Remember, we had been worried that maybe it had washed away in the flood or Hurricane Katrina. But anyway, yeah, it's been something else. And, you know, essentially, Republican leaders and Democratic leaders are coming together and saying, this is, we think, a violation of separation of powers. And this was the first ever unprecedented FBI raid on a sitting lawmaker's office. It was quite extraordinary.
In the Capitol.
On Capitol Hill, in any office, exactly. The offices are not in the Capitol unless you're a leader. They're in the House and Senate office buildings. This was the first FBI raid ever on a sitting U.S. lawmaker's office.
Wow.
Query, isn't this the second a member on the Democratic side of the aisle that has been asked to step aside or has stepped aside as a result of an investigation? Didn't I read someplace where Mulahan?
Alan Mollahan, yes. Well, that is a little bit different because, yes, Alan Mollahan is the ranking member on the House Ethics Committee. So because he is now accused of ethics violations, you can't quite have him sitting on the House Ethics Committee, which is exploring the misbehavior, alleged misbehavior of other members. That just doesn't make sense. So, of course, you're going to have to ask him to step down. But asking William Jefferson to step down from his position on Ways and Means is a little bit different. That's really saying, look, we think you've really screwed up. It looks like the writing's on the wall, and we just don't want you to be a prominent face in our party right now, especially when Democrats are trying to win on the notion of culture of corruption. Well, they kind of blew that, right? it's a little bit difficult for them to be out there talking about the culture of corruption in the Republican Party when they've got two members under investigation.
On the precedent set inside, did not Bob Ney on the Republican side step aside from some assignment he had?
That's right. He was a chairman of the House Administration Committee, and he had to step down as well. And the Republican leaders, again, here we are in one of the most brutally tense mid-year elections ever, and they didn't want Bob Ney as a prominent committee chairman to be a face of the Republican Party.
Right.
I mean, they already had the Tom DeLay Party, and of course, of the problem, they had to ask him to...
Tom DeLay Party, I like that, yeah.
They forced him out. At the Tom DeLay Party. Well, that's what Democrats have been hoping for, but then he had to step down as majority leader, so they had to scrap all those ads.
And this is Marian Akers, of course, on 9 Sick to the Quake. She comes with us on DC Thursdays as well, so appropriately describes that this day, Marianne. And you, of course, have other things that you've been covering other than just the two that we mentioned. What else has happened in Washington?
Let's see, what else do we have? Looks like we're going to have a little vote on the immigration bill in the Senate. To me, big snooze fest. I'm bored to tears over the immigration thing. I think it's going to pass, but then, of course, when it goes to conference, I can guarantee you not much is going to happen, if anything. They'll just fight it out. Too controversial to pass something like that in an election year. And then, of course, they're going to have the first vote on one of the president's judicial nominees, Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, Kavanaugh.
Circuit Court of Appeals. This is going to be interesting. It looks like he's a shoe-in. He's going to get an up or down vote, and I believe that they will approve him. The person to watch in this is Senator Hillary Clinton. How do you think she's going to vote on Brett Kavanaugh, one of Ken Starr's deputies who helped impeach her husband?
Should be an interesting confrontation by the lady.
It should be. And either way, it's going to be a story in certainly the New York papers, if not other national papers. If she votes against him, well, we know what the lead will be. She votes against the prosecutor who helped. Right.
The mean man who tried to pin her husband to the wall.
Exactly. If she votes for him...
She's going against her husband.
Right. So that's going to be interesting. That'll be something to watch.
Are there legitimate, justifiable reasons why some Democrats may be voting against him?
Well, sure. He's very conservative, and they have concerns about his involvement in a number of Bush administration initiatives, including eavesdropping, including the Iraq war, including, you know, anything that he could have had his pulse on as a lawyer in the Bush White House.
So she could very easily justify on the grounds of legitimacy and substance if she wished to, but because of the Ken Starr connection, it makes a problem.
Well, it's going to be fodder for the right-wing blogs, certainly.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be fun to read the blogs after this vote takes place, which could be today or tomorrow.
Oh, really? Is there confirmation hearings? Are they going to ask him questions before
they
vote?
Well, they've already done that.
Oh, sure.
He's already had his hearing.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so we've already done that, and he had his adorable little baby sitting on his wife's lap, you know, the whole great-looking, they wonderful pictures in the newspapers. And he's actually a very nice guy.
You know, I'd have to rent a baby. If I were up for confirmation.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Rent a couple of kids. Yeah, have different colored kids, you know, all in a row.
I think that sounds like it. Yeah, okay, if this gossip business doesn't work out for me, that's a great idea.
Yeah, you can provide a rent-a-kid service. You know?
Marianne's rent-a-baby.
You are predicting that he will be approved, and I assume that means that there's not been a campaign mounted by anybody who normally would put these things together to block him, and there's no evidence of any Republican not voting for him.
Well, I don't believe there will be a Republican who won't vote for him. But, yes, sure, initially when he was nominated and before his hearings, yeah, they there were progressive and liberal groups worried about Bush's judicial nominees who opposed him. Absolutely. And you will absolutely see Democrats voting against him. But I do believe he will be approved. I do believe that they'll get enough Democratic support that he'll go through.
Marianne, we were talking about the FBI and they're interviewing people. What's the game?
Well, this time they're seeking to interview House members, both Republicans and Democrats, about who may have leaked details of the National Security Agency's domestic surveillance program to the New York Times when the Times first reported on that story back in December.
Oh, for crumb's sake, why don't they worry about the illegality, what's being done, and not who told us about it?
Well, that's not their nature. So they're, you know, they're looking at interviewing some pretty high-level people, including Nancy Pelosi, Pete Hoekstra, who is chairman of that House Intelligence Committee. He, Hoekstra, has retained his own personal lawyer in this case. Okay, so that's how serious this is getting. And in really sort of big picture, this is highlighting the tremendous amount of tension between the Justice Department and Congress. It's getting out of control, as one member put it the other day.
You know, Marianne, they better really hope that the Democrats don't take over Congress and or the Senate, because the Justice Department is going to be investigated by the Justice Department.
Oh, yeah, there will be hell to pay. And Democrats will hold hearings on everything.
Everything.
Well, Marianne, I think that the other House members who are being approached would be well advised to follow the leadership of the chairperson, get their own lawyer. After all, the reason that Martha Stewart ended up doing a little bit of time is she talked to members of the Justice Department and got accused of lying to them. And so House members better understand that they should either shut up or do it only through a lawyer.
Yeah, you're right about that. Absolutely.
And not that I'm looking for business.
but you wouldn't turn it down.
No, but on a serious note, you can't talk to federal authorities in an investigation, even though you're not under oath, without running the risk of being accused of having made a false statement to a federal official.
Right, and especially in this atmosphere. I mean, seriously, Congress, and whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, members of Congress are seeing what they're calling really extremely aggressive tactics used by the Justice Department and FBI investigators.
You know, FBI flashes a badge and says, hey, Willie Brown, FBI. I immediately think, oh, my God, what did I do? What's in my pockets, etc. And then he proceeds to say, I want to ask you about Will Durst. He's being nominated for ambassador to Los Angeles.
No, Bahamas.
Is this true?
No.
I want the Bahamas.
Wait. I can't wait to take a trip.
But there's real danger in talking to federal authorities.
Oh, sure, absolutely, and they know that, and obviously Pete Hoekstra knows it. He's hired his own personal lawyer. But, the atmosphere could not be more tense right now. It's really unbelievable. And it's interesting because Bush had gone to some lengths to repair his relationship with Congress. Well, now, guess what? That's all been ruined because of this William Jefferson thing, and now the FBI interviewing members on who leaked the NSA secrets.
The best of keeping it real with Will and Willie continues online at quakeradio.com and on the air on 960 The Quake.
Tony La Russa, who still lives in Piedmont. I believe he's still there, and he has ARF, which is a great
Animal
organization.
Animal Rescue Fund.
Foundation, yes.
Foundation, yeah. I did a benefit for them over at Walnut Creek one time. Didn't he used to manage another team before that?
Yes, he has passed Joe McCarthy on the all-time manager's wins list at this point. He had ended the year with 2,214 wins, and of course a lot of those were as manager of the Oakland Athletics.
Oakland Athletics.
Yes, Tony La Russa, welcome to Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on 960 The Quake. Now, ARF, you're doing a fundraiser. When's the next event for your organization?
Probably the well, yeah, we do stuff all the time, but the most significant thing we have going right now is we're attempting to pay off our building debt. In 2003, we built 38,000 square feet in Walnut Creek. It's a rescue center for people and animals, and the debt's down $3 million. So between the LaRussa family and some friends, we put together a challenge where right now it's 1 to 5. You know, our family's committed $500,000, and if somebody sends in $5, we put in a dollar next to it, and the idea is to raise $2.5 million. With our 5 is 3.
Ronnie, Willie Brown here.
Hi, Willie.
How are you doing?
All depends on this afternoon.
Are you going to pitch to Barry?
He has been pitching to Barry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I didn't intentionally walk him yesterday.
No, I think somebody pointed out, Dave Dunn is our pitching coach, and I like his philosophy. He said, we raise competitors, not cowards. So we compete against Barry all the time, and sometimes you just have to explain the competing to me is throw the ball down the middle. You know, we try to make it, but we go after him.
Yeah, well, sure, yeah, no car, yeah, except in the 89, I seem to remember you pitching Stewart at us in Game 3 again when you had that 14-day layover.
Did I hear you say pitching at us? I thought you were an A's fan.
Well, I'm a West Side boy. Sorry, buddy.
Tony, you really know of your great history with the Oakland A's. Would you say that maybe Dave Stewart was the best of all the pitchers that you ever had the occasion to coach?
You know, one of the problems with that is in trying to compliment somebody as great as Dave, you end up disrespecting somebody else. You know, like, you know, we had Tom Seaver for a couple of years in Chicago, and you know, we had the Cy Young winner last year, and Chris Carpenter,
who's pitching today.
Yeah, he's pitching today. But I think that I would prefer to say that I never had anybody better than Dave, and Dave was just. I think Dave's attitude is one that every pitcher should have. I mean, Dave pitched to, you know, life or death. I mean, he competed to the utmost, and if he got beat, it was just like a piece of him died. And I mean, he was just one of the greatest competitors we've ever been around. Had some, well, you have 4 straight 320 game wins.
Yes, he did. And then you let San Francisco get their hands on him.
Yeah, he went to got another ring with Toronto, and then, you know, he deserved it. I mean, our time with the A's was up, and he went on to other greater glories. But he still remains a great friend. That's one of the neatest things about that Oakland experience. All the guys who are on that team are still very good friends, and you run into them, and we share some wonderful memories.
When we celebrated last week the 75th birthday of Willie Mays, you know who showed up? Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, there's another teammate
who turns.
You know, one of the things about Reggie, which I hope people appreciate, I think that's a good example. You know, Reggie is a wonderful student of history, and really pays respects to the history of the game. And no surprise at all that he would be there for Willie. I think Reggie is probably the best student of baseball history of any player or person I've ever been around. I mean, he goes way back and pays attention, and he's certainly a part of it.
Do you notice that a lot of the kids today, they don't know the history of baseball?
Oh, man, I mean, they're absolutely clueless. I mean, it's what's scary is it really dates you. I mean, I'll talk to them about players that maybe 15 years ago, and they'll say, who? I mean, they do not pay any attention to. If it's not on the video game, man, they don't know him.
That's the voice of Tony La Russa on 960 The Quake here. And Tony La Russa, of course, is the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, the team that defeated the 49ers and Matt Morris last night. And I think the score was like 8-5.
I think it was the Giants, yeah. But yeah,
yeah, but we had a rally in the ninth there. Almost took out Izzy.
Well, you know, Matt Morris is, you know, one of our all-time favorites. And, yeah. You know, he won 22 games for us in Oakland. So, you know, I have great respect and love for Matt. It was very difficult to go against him. But it did get scary in the ninth inning. I had my family there, and I was hoping I wouldn't have to fake being in a good mood when it was over.
Well, I hope you have to fake it today. Where are you going next? Where do you guys fly off to?
We have San Diego on Friday. So, actually, the luck of the draw and the schedule, I'll get a chance to spend the off day tomorrow at home. But we play Friday in San Diego for the weekend.
Well, make sure you crack their butts.
You still keep your place here, right?
Yeah, we've been here since 1986. Our kids were raised here. We got our roots here, and this is still our home.
Before we go, Tony La Russa, a quick question on, of course, Oakland A's former player that you brought to St. Louis, Mark McGwire, hit all those home runs. A lot of people know about his Andro use. So what do you feel about the attention paid to Barry Bonds as kind of the poster boy for steroids?
Yeah, it's come into question. There's a lot of issues. So anybody in my area should get this kind of scrutiny. You know, one of the things that is true, though, is, you know, of the great home run hitters, Barry's, you know, the only one playing, so he's catching the brunt of it. But you know, there are questions that are being asked and should be answered, actually. But you know, whatever happened there for any of those guys, if you take a stick out of Barry, you know, Barry was. Was and is a great hitter and a great player. So it's a real confusing period of a baseball history. I don't know what the answer is, really.
Which is why they're coming down on him and not Marvin Bernard or Brady Anderson.
Obviously a great engineer of the game, you really do have to have talent to play the game. You can't substitute talent for product, can you?
Right, you know, it's a wonderful thing about the game of baseball. I think that's probably why I think it's a terrific sport. You have to have a certain level of talent, but in the end, probably the most important talent is what goes on between your ears and what beats in your heart. You know, we have a great example in David Eckstein.
Yeah.
His talent level is, you know, is acceptable, but he is one of the best players in baseball because he's one of the toughest, most relentless competitors you've ever seen. So baseball really presents an opportunity for somebody to elevate their talent and be a real producer if they're, you know, mentally strong enough. And but if you have a combination of real good talent, you know, great talent and a great mind, you know, that, you know, a guy like Albert Pujols, then you're going to be a great producer. But you know, it's a shame sometimes you see talent wasted, and I think that's probably one of the biggest regrets you have in a game. You have somebody with talent, and they just don't get it mentally, and it's a real waste.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us today. Also, just an observation, Pujols was looking a little tired yesterday. I think you should sit him down today.
How about tomorrow?
Save him for the weekend.
How about tomorrow?
You're hearing the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie. Segments from previous shows you might have missed. Catch Will and Willie live every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. On the air at 960 a.m. And online at quakeradio.com. 960, The Quake.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language, with no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills? You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, over 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. This amazing demo includes 28 languages. Learn a language better than you thought possible and faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-337-1442 and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills. Call for your free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. The number is 1-800-337-1442. That's 1-800-337-1442.
Hearing the best of Keeping It Real with Will and Willie on San Francisco's exclusive progressive talk station, KQKE, Oakland, San Francisco, 960.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. A roadside bomb killed two crew members of a CBS News crew in